The Spectator magazine is home to wonderful writing, insightful analysis, and unrivaled books and arts reviews. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, along with a free £20 John Lewis or Waitrose voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by James Heal and Fraser Nelson. So James, the talk of Westminster today is all about honey and honey traps. Tell us about what's been happening, we found out, to William Wragg MP.
Yes, this was a revelation in the Times today that William Wragg was the person responsible for passing on the phone numbers of several different contacts, we think up to about a dozen people, which were then used to then send them sort of flirty messages in an attempt to try and also entrap them and blackmail them as well. And so William Wragg came out with this last night, which was revealed by the Times newspaper, and he's apologised and said the reason he did this, passed on these numbers, was because there was incriminating material on himself. So effectively a victim of blackmail. But of course there's a bit of a divide here, because some people are saying, hang on a sec, you know, this person has chosen to throw his colleagues under the bus. Others are saying, well, he was a victim, could happen to anyone, etc. The government has taken the latter view. Jeremy Hunt on the Morning Media Round praised William Wragg's courageous statement here. And I think what's different from, say, 2 years ago, when we had the Neil Parish row about in court watching porn in Parliament, was that that row was allowed to kind of go on for about 4 or 5 days, and different MPs were misidentified as the person responsible before he owned up and took it, and he was forced to resign as a result of that. I think William Wragg has come forward, has been relatively quickly in this case, which is probably helping him, but also think the timing in the electoral cycle was that Neil Parish had to resign and cause a by-election. But right now, I think there's no pressure from government to cause said by-election. They don't want to have that contest, and we're expecting a general election later this year. But yeah, it's about, I think the story now moves on to who were the other two MPs who apparently, reportedly, sent these photos to this kind of person who was involved with the blackmail. And will other people be caught up in it and named in due course?
Fraser, where do you fall on those two camps that James just outlined? Are you sympathetic, or do you think he's done something very, very stupid?
I think we're in a cycle at the moment where we were at the dog end of John Major's years, where it seems that Tories are misbehaving left, right and centre. This does fit a theme. I mean, you can think of the reasons, we won't list them all now, but they've caused by-elections over the last sort of couple of years. And I think that's why this is significant. Now, I was really quite struck when I read his account of it today, to say that this anonymous person who he was dealing with then messaged various presumably Tory MPs, and two of them replied by sending explicit images of their own. Now, this suggests that there is a lot more such scandal left in the Conservative Party. They're not being careful. You'd think that a politician would be incredibly careful before replying to such this. After all, they're in the public eye. It wasn't so long ago that the journalist Alex Wickham did a very successful sting where he posed as a girl digitally and asked and contacted Brooks Newmark, a Tory MP, who indeed replied by sending an explicit photograph. Now, this was sort of famous. It was the front page of the newspapers. Brooks Newmark went to buy the copyright of that image so he could remove it from the Purge. You know, you would think that would be an example that would be etched on Tory minds for a long, long time. So next time they get somebody asking them for an explicit image, maybe not send it if you're a politician. But if this isn't happening, and if we've just seen three Tory MPs fairly easily ensnared in this way, then it makes you think that there's going to be another pattern of misbehaviour from a whole bunch of Tories who know they're not going to win their seats at the next election. Now, if you're Rishi Sunak right now, the big question is, can you wait until November to have a general election? Are things going to get better?
I just think I'll sort of flag as well, I think Will Wragg made a big miscalculation in this, which is that, as we've seen from the reaction, you know, people are sympathetic to being a victim. And if they're being sympathetic to the fact of, you know, he was involved in this and did handle these phone numbers, they'd be even more sympathetic if it was just the fact that he was being blackmailed about an explicit photo. I really think that people, what they're getting annoyed about isn't the fact that he sent an explicit image. It was the fact that he then
acquiesced,
and then gave in to blackmail demands rather than going to the police, as they should have done. And now, of course, Leicestershire Police has now opened an investigation into all of this. The second thing I just make out is how we've seen some of the messages that have been shared by GB News today and to other people, and they look extraordinarily amateur. You know, it's very kind of out of the blue, completely no context. It wouldn't seem as sophisticated as perhaps some of the original reporting suggested. So I would be struck by anyone who would fall for these kind of messages. It just seems a completely amateur operation.
And Fraser, we're talking today about this scandal, and after a pretty difficult week for Rishi Sunak, instead of talking about something that perhaps the government would prefer to talk about, which is the national insurance cut that comes into place tomorrow. It's going to save the average earner around £450, and yet it doesn't seem to be giving the government any credit.
I think this is another really important aspect of the Conservatives' predicament right now. To cut national insurance by 2 percentage points will be felt by everybody who pays national insurance. So your payslip should start to demonstrate this fairly immediately. Now, when the Conservatives decided to do this, this cost a fair amount of money. And the idea is you get some political credit. You'd make people think, oh, the Tories, they've cut 2p last time in the budget. Now they've cut another 2p this time. I'm a lot better off as a result. And you would see that reflected in the opinion polls somehow. But it is not being reflected at all. And similarly, on Monday, a new scheme was rolled out where parents of kids 2 years old and older had more of their childcare costs covered. Eventually, that's going to be over 9 months. So again, you'd expect the government to be picking up credit after having spent a hell of a lot of money on expanding the welfare state in this way. It goes against Conservative instincts, but the idea was it was politically savvy because you get political capital. In other words, they would help them win the next election. We're in the stage now where it seems that no matter how many billions the Tories spend, either in tax reduction or in welfare expansion, they don't seem to be able to get the political credit. Now, in the case of taxes, that's perhaps because they're going up rather than down. I mean, the freezing of the thresholds has created a stealth tax, which will take away far more than what we're being given back in national insurance reductions. So your average worker will not be better off as a result of all this, because the stealth taxes far outweigh what's going to be given back in rate cuts. But the other thing is, I think the people have just stopped really crediting the Conservatives with the ability to do anything good. And I think that is the more dangerous point here. I'm not quite sure what Rishi Sunak could promise that I think would genuinely give me confidence that would lead to a 5-point increase in the Tory opinion poll lead.
I think that's a great point, Fraser, which is about the public trusting the Tories, really. And so it's not even Rishi Sunak, well, he does have achievements and he can point to real cuts, is that people don't really believe it, in the sense of either they think it's going to be a short-term bribe and then after the election tax is going to go up, or they say, well, tax is up overall, biggest tax burden hike since, biggest tax burden take since the late 1940s. And so it's not even so much about the policies themselves, it's about the credibility with the public, and that's what's really changed. And you talk to pollsters, they talk of this thing called news avoidance, whereby the public have kind of just tuned out since like last May's local elections. And I think that's the case, really, is that nothing really the government's doing is cutting through. And if it is, it's a kind of scepticism and a cynicism perhaps about the government. And that's really worrying for the Conservatives. And as you say, it's not much it's obvious they could do to kind of turn that around.
And I wonder, Cindy, if even the Tories will be as bold enough as to say, when the national insurance cut comes in, we have cut your taxes. Because they haven't. The tax burden is rising. Technically, it's accurate because the rate is going down, but effectively it's untrue because of the stealth taxes. Now, if they actually don't come out with a campaign saying we've cut your taxes, that will mean even they have worked out that they're just not going to be believed. In this case, because it isn't actually true. But in this case, the whole ruse will have failed. But I think it says a lot about the Conservative confidence right now that we're not really hearing about a 2p cut national insurance tax, which, there's no doubt about it. I mean, people will be better off as a result of this tax cut, and they should notice it in the payslip. It's just that they will also have noticed themselves slipping into higher tax brackets because the allowances haven't really changed.
Fraser and James, thanks very much. And thank you very much for listening at home. Now, if you enjoyed this podcast, do give us a rating and a review, and why not tell a friend about it too?